The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest today in the studio is...
My name is Julie Cray, and I am with DJ's Portable Toilet Rentals and Septic Service.
And we're going to be talking about keeping your system flowing and some of the things you need to avoid so that you don't have an emergency call and maybe just maintenance calls once in a while. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, Julie, there's a science to this, isn't there? People just think of it as a septic tank, but there's science and there's principles behind the whole system.
Absolutely. Your household water and waste all flows into your septic tank, and when it flows in there, your tank digests just like your stomach does, and it'll put solids on the bottom of the tank that never dissipate until you pump it, and it'll form a scum layer on the top. And as that scum layer gets thicker and the solids on the bottom get thicker, you get less volume for the liquids to run into the tank, and eventually the scum layer will float up in front of your outlet and it'll shut it off, and that's when you'll start to see the signs of drains running slow, gurgling, or odors, and that's your signs that you need to have those solids pumped out of your tanks.
So it sounds like there's a so-called, in lack of a better term, sweet spot in there where you have the scum on the top, the solids on the bottom, but you got to keep the water flowing to whatever kind of drainage field you have.
Right. Your tank works that your inlet is 1 inch higher than your outlet. So as water goes into the tank, water will lift up and go out of the tank and into the septic field or the dry well, whatever your system has.
And there's designs in the septic tanks like baffles that keep the fresh stuff that comes in from getting too close to the pipe, and that way only the water is going out.
Right. You don't want solids to go out into your field, because just like changing the oil in your car, it's cheaper to change that oil than it is to replace the engine. It's cheaper to pump your system than it is to have the solids go out into that field and replace that field, because fields can run from a few $100 to quite a few $1,000, so it's not a cheap thing to do.
Are septic tanks one of the things people don't think about until they really have a problem? I mean, they're just kind of there in the ground and nobody really pays attention until all of a sudden, honey, it's coming back.
That's kind of how it is. We have a small handful of customers that are faithful and call religiously every 3 to 5 years and have their tank pumped out because they want to keep up on the maintenance. Then we have a lot of people that don't think about it till there's a problem. Usually they haven't pumped it in 10 or 20 years. And you'll also see people that have moved from the city into the country setting. Now they have a septic system and they didn't know what they could do with it, and they didn't know where it was. They don't know anything about it or how it works or anything. And those are the people that'll end up having trouble because they don't know.
Are these the type of people who came from the city and say had a garbage disposal and they used to throw all this stuff down it because they didn't have to take it out in the trash, and all of a sudden that just went out to the wastewater treatment plant, but now it's going into your tank, and these things don't break down as fast as they think they do?
That's true. Garbage disposals, you can use them with a septic system, but they're harder on the system, and if you do have a garbage disposal and you use it as much as you might have in the city, it can make you pump your tank prematurely. So instead of that 3 to 5 year window for pumping your tank for a maintenance, someone with a garbage disposal might have to pump it every 1 to 3 years because it doesn't digest it fast enough in the tank.
Yeah, we do it quickly in our own bodies, but the septic system has its own slow mode of getting things done.
That's right.
Don't want it to work too fast, eat up the tank.
Yeah, exactly.
People... You know, like especially around the lakeshore, but in general, people add on to their houses, they build them bigger. Is the septic thing the one thing they really don't think of in this whole kind of project? Because you're going from one bathroom to four, you're going from 1 2-bedrooms to five, and all of a sudden, this poor little tank is going, help me.
We see that a lot. As people add on or as the household change and you have more children or more people in your household, sometimes the septic system isn't big enough to handle what is now there. You'll see grandma and grandpa lived in a house and it worked great for them, and they sold the house and now a family of six moves into that household and they're having issues. But the system wasn't designed around that many people and that much water being used in the household, so it makes a difference. So sometimes they'll need to work with their local health department and add on to their existing field to give it more capacity.
It doesn't necessarily mean you need a bigger tank, just more outflow?
It depends on what size tank you have. When you work with the health department, if you have a very small tank, they might recommend that you remove that tank and put a bigger one in. 10, 15 years ago, a 1,000-gallon tank was probably what they were putting in new homes or new systems. Today, you can get as big as a 12, 1,500-gallon tank, and there could even be some 2,000-gallon tanks out there.
But if you're like buying a cottage on the lake, you may not really know what's in there. That could be an old barrel from when it was a cottage rental place, and you know they were only used 3 months a year.
Absolutely. And you see more and more people moving up to those cottages and making them their permanent homes, and then they have issues. The health department started keeping records in 1972 of where all the septic systems were and the tank locations and what kind of septic system was put in. But those records in 1972 were very sketchy because we didn't understand the importance of keeping good records. Today, the health department keeps really good records. And last year, they made some great improvements. They took the records they had, sent them out, had them all scanned, so now they're digital. And if you're not sure where your septic system is, if you call the health department, sometimes they can give you the information on that system. And everything goes by your house number. It doesn't matter who was there when it was put in. It all goes by your street address and house number.
It'll also give you an idea where you might be able to sink another well if you needed to, as opposed to doing it right in the middle of the drain field.
Absolutely, because you want to have your well 50, 100 feet away from that septic system. You don't want it close to it because you don't want to contaminate it.
And that can be tricky on some of these small lots along the lake.
It sure can. Along the lake, you want to make sure that you're far enough away from the water so we don't pollute it, but yet you've got to be far enough away from your well, and you got to have an adequate system. So their systems there are a little bit different than someone who has 2 or 3 or 5 acres of land because they don't have the room to put the same kind of system in. It's a different style.
And whether it's clean water or water out the pipes, it's going to flow downhill. And if you're going to be a little bit above the lake, that might be the flow, and you've got to make sure you're not polluting and growing the weeds in front of your house.
Absolutely, because we want to keep our lake waters nice and pure and good for us and our families and our children and grandchildren to be able to use and enjoy, and we don't want to contaminate them.
Do people generally know where their system is? There's usually a lid, like an opening that you pump them out with. I really don't know that a lot of people may actually exactly know where that is. I know it's around here somewhere, and that makes for a lot of digging.
We get a lot of that. Sometimes the health department is very helpful if they have records for the system. We also use a tile prod and we'll check to see where the pipe comes out of your home. Usually you can see that in the basement or in the crawl space. So we'll start in that direction. Where that pipe comes out of the wall, that's how deep your tank is going to be. If it's a manufactured tank, it's going to be 4 foot wide, 8 foot long. All tanks have one lid. Some tanks have two lids, depending on the manufacturer. So we know that if it's put in correctly, the one lid should be at your outlet end of the tank. Some of the older tanks, they had a slab of cement that went right across the 4 foot length, and it might have been 2 foot wide, so you dig that up and we have to open that slab to pump them. And some of the really, really old tanks, you got to take the whole top off, and that requires a tractor or a backhoe to do that.
And I imagine it gets to be problematic the older they get, because a lot of times, as I remember seeing them, they would use like rebar to make the handles and stuff that you lift, and rebar rusts when it gets wet.
It does, and then you'll see customers, they try to open it up to see what it looks like, and they pry on that lid, and what will happen is they'll break that lid.
Oh.
There's a method to it. Usually we tap on it with a hard, heavy bar, and you'll see the tank lid kind of jiggle a little bit, and then you're able to pick the lid off to check out the condition. And if you do break your lid, you want to make sure that you replace it. A lot of the places that sell the septic tanks will make you a replacement lid, or they have them available to put on the tank. So you want to make sure that's safe so nobody falls in. And when you have your tank pumped, you want to look at the condition of it. Sometimes as a tank gets older, you'll see the cement start to decay, either from what the cement consistency was when they put it in there 50 or 75 years ago, or could even be from the gases inside the tank from how the tank was used.
Well, and tanks generally, at least the top of them, aren't that deep. So you could have freeze-thaw problems as well, where the cement is freezing and thawing in the ground and giving you a little problem that way, too. The cement doesn't like that.
Right. And you'll see some of them that are not very deep in the ground. If the lid is a thinner lid, some of the manufacturers have a little bit thinner lid. Those big, heavy lawnmowers that we all like today to cut our grass really fast, sometimes that weight can be a lot on that septic tank, and it can crush the lid.
Yeah, that's a bad bump to take.
Yeah, exactly. Because you don't want to fall in that tank. The septic tank can be 8 foot deep or deeper.
And filled to the brim with Lord knows what.
Exactly. And I would hate to see an animal or a person fall in there, because it would be possible to drown in it if you couldn't get out.
Or the fumes in there. I mean, it is decomposing stuff. It's not oxygen, so to speak. It's eating up a lot of the good stuff to make the process work.
Absolutely. That's a definite confined space.
The joys of methane. Now, how important is it to leave your field alone? I mean, people, especially like at a cottage, will put a deck or something out on front, and maybe that's where the lid is, maybe that's where the drain field is, and you may need to get to that in short order. My sister, she sold her house out in the country. Family bought it, came in, had a bunch of kids, complained to her that the tank didn't work right. They put the swimming pool over the drain field. Not only do you crush it, but it can't dry. And so there you sit.
We've seen that. We've had to have people drain their swimming pools so we can pump their tanks out. We've
had the pool over the tank?
We had one customer put the pool right on top of the tank. It was, you know, a 3 foot deep kiddie pool, but
it almost had a real drop off.
Yeah. We've had customers build their decks on top of them, where they've had to cut a section of their deck out so we could actually open the lid up to pump it. We've had some customers know that they built over top of it, and they actually left an access hole in their deck, so 4 screws, and they can pick the access hole of boards out, and then the tank lid was underneath. So sometimes it's by mistake, but sometimes it's on purpose.
But that could be difficult for you. You don't want to mess up their nice deck trying to take the lid out of this thing, if you know what I mean, with a hole that may just be barely big enough to do it.
Absolutely, because that is a problem. Usually if they make a nice opening for us, they don't make it big enough. Not to do the proper job, because when we pump that tank out, what we want out of there is the solids. The water that's in there, the liquid, is just a bonus to help it go up our hoses. So we have a really long hoe. It's just like your garden hoe, but it has a 10-foot long handle on it. And when you have a deck or anything over it,
it would have to be longer than that for me, because I would not want to be near those tanks. Sorry.
The angle that you can get in there and clean it out, you can't do as good of a job. It's not as good of a job as we would like to do, because we like to get all those solids out of there. When we're done, you only want to have about an inch and a half of liquid and solid left there on the bottom, because you want that to start your tank up again so it'll help it digest.
Yeah, starting from scratch when you first get a new tank, it's a process. It's like cleaning out your whole digestive system. We have enzymes and things in there that need to be there to make it work.
Yeah, we've seen tanks where it took a year or even more for it to start digesting. Usually they'll start digesting in a couple of months, but we have had a couple customers that had issues getting it to start up.
Can that be delayed by what we put in it, like bleach and soaps and stuff that, you know, because today modern septic tanks are accepting a lot of our laundry and dishwashers and such, whereas in the old days they kind of ran out of pipe and nobody said anything about it into a field or something. But today those all have to be properly disposed of, and they're going in your tank with chemicals, right, really designed to kill bacteria.
Absolutely. The cleaner we are as humans in our household, the cleaner we clean our house, the cleaner we clean our clothes, the more we launder or shower ourselves with the antibacterial soap, antiseptic mouthwash,
those microbeads,
bleach. Oh yeah, all those microbeads, all that stuff, it kills the healthy organisms in the tank. And then another thing you see quite often is if you have a water softener, they'll discharge the water softener water into the septic tank. And that's another hard thing on there, because now you're adding salt, you're adding rust removers or calcium removers, and all those things are real harsh. It'd be like giving yourself an upset stomach.
Well, and plus all the stuff it was taking out of your water is being back flushed into there. All the stuff you didn't want to drink is bypassing you and going straight into your tank.
Absolutely, and that makes it really hard. And they make products that you can add to your tank. There's no proven fact that they work or that they don't work. And what we see is we have a few customers that'll add those products religiously. And yeah, when we open the tank and they say, oh, I add this product every month, you can tell they've added it and it does help.
But you don't know if it's just because they're more attuned to what they're putting down there.
Right, right. And if you add the product once you're backed up or once you're stopped up or it's running slow, and now I think, oh, I got to go buy some of that product and pour it down there, it's going to help it. It's already too late. You're wasting your money on that product at that point. You might as well call a septic person and have them come out and pump your tank out, because that product is designed to feed the tank, not to unplug the tank.
Is this the time of year? I know some people may have been limping through the winter saying, oh, it's slow, but we'll get through until at least it thaws out and they can, without tearing up the whole lawn and everything to try and find it. Is this the time to do it? I mean, you think you'd want to get it done now so you don't have problems in the summer, because you
right.
want to have a good time and not be having all your relatives over. You've seen the commercials where the relatives are over. They didn't think they'd be seeing me on this happy occasion, but things back up, especially when you have like a party or something and your house is doing a load that it never was designed for.
Yeah, we see a lot of customers will pump in the spring. The problem that they'll have in the spring, sometimes if you have a lot of surface water from a wet spring, it'll cause you to pump it out sooner. Pumping in the beginning of the year, like Craig says, is a really good idea. It makes you have a peace of mind that everything's good for the summer. If you're going to have a big, huge party, it's always recommended to rent a porta-john, because that alleviates so much on your system at one time.
People don't think of the system until it goes bad.
So that's right.
You know, well, we got three bathrooms. What's the problem?
And nothing worse than being in the middle of your party on a Saturday afternoon and everything's backing up and you call a septic person and maybe we're on vacation that day too, or a family function, and so now you can't get anybody to come out there. And so it's always good to plan ahead. You most definitely want to plan to pump that tank and do your maintenance work before winter time, because in the winter, the price goes up, because you now have to pay somebody to dig it up. Frozen ground. You can't dig it with a shovel. In the winter time, we take all of our waste to the water waste treatment facility in Saginaw, so it costs more because they impose a cost to us that we don't normally have when it's summertime. So it's just a lot more difficult to get it done in the winter, and it's more costly, and nobody wants to spend that extra money in the winter time.
You bring up a point that, you know, we live in farm country and farmers spread manure. You can't do that. There's a whole different statute, a whole different rules and regulations when it comes to human waste.
That's correct. We do land apply, and you can land apply if you're licensed through the DEQ to do that. And that
and
piece of land has to be licensed
for human consumption.
That's
basically
right.
Is one of the reasons behind it is because we don't want the pathogens to make a full circle.
Exactly. We actually rotate where we apply it to our field. And we do grow crop on it, but the crop is for animal consumption. We have setbacks from property lines, setbacks from wells, rivers, streams, ditches. So it's much more controlled. When we take the waste home, you might think we're at your house 15 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes. And you think, wow, that's a lot of money for doing that. But when we take that load home, we spend another half an hour to an hour out in the field screening all the foreign objects out of it. That all goes to the landfill, and then putting that into a tank that we can put it on the ground, and within 6 hours now incorporating it into the ground by working it in with another tractor. So it's not just what you see at your house. There's a whole nother process behind the scenes that it has to go through.
And then you have to take the stuff you screened out to a certified place that can handle that, because, you know, you just can't dump that anywhere either.
Right. The landfill will take that. Then we keep track of all of the gallons that we pumped out, how much we're land applying. And every year the DEQ reviews those records and what we're land applying. And we do soil samples to test what is in our soil, because if we have too much pathogens in the soil and the crops don't remove that, then we would not be able to land apply on that particular plot anymore. So we have to keep everything in good balance working order, or we can't do what we do.
Or it gets costly to just take it all to Saginaw year round.
Yes, because when you take it to Saginaw, not only do you have the time on the road to get there and back, the extra fuel, and once you get there, Saginaw charges us by the gallon to offload it into their system.
Well, so, not to mention the liability of driving it that far. I mean, this is hazardous waste as far as any government agency is concerned, and you're transporting it, that falls to you.
It does. And the other bad thing is Saginaw is only set up to receive it from us Monday through Friday from 7 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. So on the weekends, if we're full and we have to go to Saginaw, when we're full, we're full. We can't help you out.
Dear.
That could be a problem.
Oh, gee, that's I think you've understated for the century here. When somebody's got a backup that way, it's an understatement to say you have to wait and that's not a problem, because, yeah, it's a problem.
Right. We try to get anybody who calls with an emergency, we try to get out there within a couple hours and do it. Sometimes we're not able to because we could have more than one emergency at a time. If we have a customer who's just doing a maintenance pump, we would call them up and ask, can we postpone yours to a later time or date so we can do an emergency? Most times customers are pretty good about that.
Is it an item? I'm not familiar with this. Is it an itemized bill? If you know they're coming and you dig it out for them, does that help you save you a little bit? Or is it just, so you're not digging up my flower beds?
It is itemized. We have a charge for pumping the tank. We have a charge for digging the dirt off the lid. And, yeah, if you want to save yourself some money, it's good if you can dig it up yourself, if you know where it is.
That gets you in and out faster as well.
It does. It does. Because sometimes you could have a couple inches of dirt on the ground. We've seen them where they've been 3 or 4 foot in the ground. Years ago, they used to drain your whole basement drain into that tank. So the tank had to be the level of the basement floor.
Oh, days before sump pumps and that type of thing.
Absolutely. And so,
and that seems like that could really fill your tank quickly, too. A water leak or something, that's all going in. If your drain tiles aren't working right, that's leaking in. That seems like that could be more problems than it was ever meant to solve.
Exactly. And, you know, when you're building even a new home, you want to take a look at where you're putting this tank and relationship to where your house is and the septic field area that you're going to put in, because it's nice if you can put it in so that it's not 3 foot deep, and sometimes that's not possible based on your land. It's nice if you can work your landscaping around it. Today we see a lot of people putting risers on. We highly recommend it. If you've got your tank dug up today for a maintenance pump, if you dig a little bit more dirt out, you can put a riser on. You can put that lid just underneath the dirt, and then you'll never have to dig it again.
It sounds good in principle, anyway. But I always wonder about these things. You know, if they're too accessible above the ground, can they get hit by the lawnmower and all of a sudden, whoa, what happened here?
Right.
Because there's going to be odor with that.
Right. We recommend that if you put a riser on, you leave your tank lid on, second safety feature, and then put the riser on. If you don't want that lid exposed, you don't want to see that, put it an inch or two underneath the dirt. That way your grass should be able to grow over it, or your flowers, or wherever you have it placed.
They're usually placed fairly close to the house, though, aren't they? They don't want a long run, because that's where you have problems with clogging, right?
That's true. And most times they are close to the house.
You have to make sure, and we were kind of talking about this before the show, you have to make sure that thing you flush has enough water to get it into the tank and not just laying in the bottom of the pipe building up.
Right. We see that water saver toilets are great. They're meant to save water, and we should, as people, save water. But then on the flip side, especially cottage people, they're going to come up for a weekend. Everybody's going to use the restroom before they head home. Now the last person flushed, and maybe that last piece of toilet paper didn't make it out to the tank. And if you don't come up for another month, that might dry out. Now when you start flushing your toilet paper, it gets plugged. Or in the wintertime, that last piece could freeze right there. So when that happens, we tell our customers, it's always a good idea after everybody's done using the restroom and you're ready to leave, go flush that toilet one more time, because that push of water should push anything in that line out to the tank, we would hope.
And people don't realize that it's not going to stay moist in there, because you have vents for your septic system going to the outside so it will flow, but that also allows air in and moisture out.
That's right. You wouldn't think that a septic system could evaporate, but it can. The water and liquid in the pipes can evaporate.
And that does not sound like good if it's in your traps, but at least it's, you know, keeping the system flowing and not clogging up.
That's right.
All right. Any common things people need to know about that they're doing that are really all wrong? Stuff they're putting down the drains, down the toilets that they should not. I mean, they may say you can. They may say right on the label, hey, it's safe for the septic tank, and it may go in the tank, but it may give you further grief down the road, or at least up the times you're going to have to get it cleaned out.
There's a lot of things you shouldn't put in the tank. We always say our rule of thumb is, unless you want to eat it or put it in your mouth, don't flush it unless it's toilet paper or human waste. We see people flush condoms, tampons, female pads, hemorrhoid pads, sanitary wipes. The package might say flushable. Your t-shirt will flush. The package will say septic safe, but it's not.
Go see your three-year-old. They'll find plenty of things in the
house
that will flush. It doesn't mean it's good for it.
Garbage disposals are harder on your system. You don't want to empty the grease out of your frying pan, because that'll build up in your pipes and cause issues. Washing your paint brushes out
before you get to the tank.
Absolutely.
The clog can be in the house because it starts coating the pipe, and every time it coats it, it gets a little more thicker and thicker, and the pipe gets smaller and smaller, and you're just not going to get it out by running a bunch of hot water.
No, you're not. And people paint in their house, and then they'll wash their brushes out in the bathtub or in the sink, and the paint, believe it or not, will stick inside those pipes, and they'll go into the septic tank, and it'll not digest. So you want to wash that outside with an outside hose.
Most of those are latex paints these days. They're not a natural thing, where they're man-made.
Right.
So they don't decompose near as fast. It may look awful on your wall in 4 years, but it may be in your septic system for a lot longer.
That's right. And, you know, even when you have...
It's like painting brick. You know, it'll stick where you don't want it to forever.
Exactly. And even pills. Sometimes people say, well, I don't need the rest of this prescription. I'll flush these pills. That can hurt the organisms in your tank that are digesting. It would be better to take them to one of those days that they collect them.
They do it every weekday at the sheriff's office. You can
absolutely
bring them in. They will take them and get them out of the way. They just want to make sure they're not going the wrong way and they are properly disposed of.
That's
right.
They don't
get in the environment and, you know, you got antibiotics in the ground, you got whatever else you've been taking in the ground that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, because when you flush those, you don't know what that's going to do to your organisms in your tank.
And a lot of things that go out as water make it down, percolate down to the water table, and you don't want that either.
That's right.
Especially
that's right.
If you have a shallow well.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't want to be getting it back on the flip side.
No. No. We don't want sewage in our drinking water. That would be bad.
And that's why there's usually a separation of so many yards or feet between your well and that. Even if it's a deep well, there's a shaft going down and stuff can leak in, and you don't want that.
That's right. You want to keep your system healthy. You want to keep your water healthy. So there is a spacing between them, and the health department can tell you the exact number of minimum feet. And you want to keep that distance at least to that minimum, if not more.
And I seem to notice this in the winter, and maybe I'm just being me, but does the bacteria, the enzymes or whatever that are working in your tank, does it generate heat? Because it always seems the snow melts first over the septic tank.
It sure does generate heat. Our septic system is actually, the top of the tank is about 2 inches under the dirt. My front sidewalk is over top of that septic tank. It's stepping stones. and magic. I never have to scrape my...
Self-defrosting stepping stones.
I have self-defrosting in front of my house on my sidewalk.
So that is a real thing, that this is using energy and releasing some of it in the form of heat. And that's one of the reasons why a tank that isn't so deep in the ground may not freeze. But you've seen it happen.
We have seen it happen. We had a couple winters ago where we actually had tanks freeze solid. We had two different tanks freeze solid.
Not just the pipe going in.
All the liquid inside. I mean, we've seen where maybe you'll have a little bit of frozen crust. But these tanks were frozen, almost completely solid. And I don't know how they ever worked. And unfortunately for those particular customers, we can't remove frozen. You can't suck up ice cubes in your vacuum cleaner. We can't suck up frozen into our truck, which is a vacuum, like your vacuum cleaner.
It would also sound like you would have to have that tank inspected before you use it. Ice expands. You could crack that cement all around, you know what I mean, to where you're leaking all the time.
It would be a good idea to do that. I don't know that they really enforce anything like that, but it would be a good idea to do that. It's always a good idea if you're going to purchase somewhere. You should want to know about your well and your septic system. People
will have the well tested to make sure the water is
but
good.
Not the
but
septic system.
They don't check where it's going.
Right. And some of the lien holders today are starting to require that. They want to have the tank pumped and inspected. And you, as the person buying that home, you should want that, because then you know... You started out with a clean slate, you know where it is, you know the condition, and everything's good to go.
And if there's a problem due to what's going into it, it's your problem, not the people who left.
Exactly.
So you have to change your ways, not
exactly.
blame them.
Exactly. That's right. And it's amazing how many people will buy a home and 3 months, 6 months, or a year later call us up, they're stopped right up, have no idea where the tank is, have no idea where the field is, no idea when it was pumped last. And you get out there, and we've had situations where they've purchased a new home to them, and the system is failing because of poor maintenance or being older, too small a tank, broken, cracked features. So it's always a good idea. When you're buying that home, don't check just the well. Check the septic system, too.
And even trying your best, doing everything right, there is a lifetime to a drain field and other things, because to a certain extent it's not pure clean water coming out. It is going to quote coat and reduce flowage after a while.
That's right. And to tell you how long that is, you really can't. There's too many variables. Your septic system might last 10 years. It might last 50 or 100 years. It's when all that biomat builds up underneath the pipe and in the stones is when you'll start to see the system fail. And again, it depends on how you've used it and what you've put in that tank. And it also depends on the drainage of the land where you're putting your septic field. Some places drain better, gravel, sand, and anything with blue clay or heavy soil, it doesn't drain as good.
Well, systems today are engineered.
They
do things like percolating tests to see just how fast it will dissipate, so they know they're going to have to add an extra couple of legs on this drain field, because it just doesn't go out as fast as you might say a standard normal system would.
That's right. If you have better drainage, you probably will have less linear feet of drainage pipe. If you have poorer drainage, they'll make you put in additional linear feet. Sometimes people think, oh, got to put that in, it's more expensive. But really, it's for your own benefit, because if you put in too few of pipe runs, the lineal feet, and the water can't get away as well as it should, that biomat will build up sooner and your system would fail sooner. So you want to keep that system healthy. Sometimes if you're having issues and you think that it's not getting away well enough, you can work with the local health department. And you can even add on to that existing field sometimes to give it more capacity.
But you're kind of hamstruck as to how much property you have and what area might be good. You can't go into the woods with it. You got to have kind of an open space so the roots aren't getting into it and destroying it. It's a science and an engineering project.
It is. And when you're building at your home, you want to make sure that if you're going to do an addition to the home or put a shed up or a garage, not only is it good not to put it over your septic system, I've seen people do that, but you also want to make sure you leave enough room on your property for an additional system someday if your system should ever fail. Do you have enough room to put a new system in?
Pretty much room for a second system right next to it. They just run the pipe over because this one is clogged, and taking it all out would be really cost prohibitive. Plus, the ground is saturated with the stuff that was clogging it to begin with.
Absolutely. And if you build a shed or a garage over the only area you would have to put a replacement field, when that field fails, if it does, then you're kind of stuck.
And don't put a tree in the middle of your field either. There's roots.
No.
I mean, some trees are more invasive than others, but any tree will find where the nutrients in the water are coming from, and they're going to go right for it.
Absolutely. We've seen people plant trees over their septic systems, which is bad. Sometimes the trees being on the outer edges of the septic system, even if they're 10 or 20 feet away, certain trees, willows, they'll travel a long ways, those branches. We've opened tanks where it's nothing but a web of roots. That little teeny tiny spider web root will find its way into any crack in the cement, any crack in the pipes where the pipes are unioned together, and it will make a big spider web and nothing will flow through it. So it can be very problematic if you have trees close to your septic system.
Is that the technical word for costly?
Yes, very.
Problematic sounds so much better than costly.
And unfortunately, there's no good way to deal with it because you can't pump roots. We can try and assist you in cutting them out and taking them out.
But the rotor rooter thing in there, if you're not stopping the tree from getting to the edge of the pipe, it's just going to come right back in because there's where the nutrients it wants.
That's right. In our training classes, they'll teach you that in a system that has some root issues, they'll recommend putting a clean out in, bringing that clean out up close to the surface. And they would recommend twice a year putting 2 tablespoons of copper sulfate in that clean out. And this would be after the tank, but before the septic field. And that copper sulfate, people add it to their ponds to remove some of the undesirable vegetative in the pond, but it also it's kind of like bitter. It'll make those tree roots want to retract. They won't want to be there.
But it's only good as long as you keep putting it in there. Eventually it'll flush out and clean out and the roots will be going back for more.
Absolutely. And it's better to put it in that clean out because if you flush it down your toilet, now it's got to treat all that water in the tank before it gets to the septic field. So that's why they recommend putting the clean out in between the tank and the field and putting that copper sulfate in there if you have a root issue.
Well, it's being diluted in the whole tank of the,
yes,
rather than a direct injection right at that point where you've got the problem.
Yes, yes.
And it still sounds costly to do that. You don't do that kind of work. I think you have a septic people that install, or do you install?
We don't install. We can give you recommendations of other people in the area.
You just take it on the other end.
Yeah, we take it on the other end. We don't do anything as far as cleaning the pipes out if somebody has a blockage.
But you can let them know this is your problem and you better address it or we're going to be back out here,
yes,
in 3 weeks.
There's a couple of people in the county that have a camera that they can put in there and they can actually see the problem. And they also have water jetters or cutters.
That's not going to make the funniest home videos there, is it?
No, not at all. But they can see, if they can see it's a root problem, or if it's, sometimes they can tell the pipe is crushed, something heavy drove over it.
That's another thing. When you're having work done in your house or you're getting your driveway done, know where that is and keep, block it off so they're not parking a dump truck full of gravel on there waiting for the one to get done so they keep doing your driveway.
The biggest thing we see, I'm getting a new roof. They come along with the Skytrak. They're going to lift the shingles up on the roof. Don't even think about the septic tank or the septic system, and they'll drive on the tank and break it or drive on the pipes and crush them. And we see that time and time again. And when you see that crushed pipe and you look at the roof, and did you have a new roof recently? Oh yeah, just a couple months ago. Well, guess what? The new roof now caused you issues with your septic system.
And if you have 6 legs going out and they only crush one, you've diminished it by a sixth.
Absolutely.
Capacity.
Absolutely. So you want to know where that septic field is, because you don't want people to park on it. You don't want people to drive on it. You don't want anything heavy on it. Your lawnmower is the heaviest thing you should be putting on that.
And a lot of times you'll find where the tiles are, because that's the greenest spot when it's dry outside, because they're getting moisture from below and the grass grows greener there.
Absolutely. August is a great time to find it, because usually the grass is all dried up and brown, but it's nice and green right where that septic field is.
Well, grass always greener on top of the septic field. Wasn't that a book or something that was out there once? If people have questions on their problems they're having, is it best not to wait? Do you save money by not letting it go too far?
You can save money by not letting it go too far, because you don't want to have to replace or do extra maintenance above and beyond pumping the tank.
Because pumping the tank is cheaper than having to replace the field, because all the solids made their way out there.
Absolutely.
Because you weren't taking no for an answer and you were pressurizing this thing, then it's just forcing out stuff it shouldn't.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're not sure how your system works, if you call, I'll spend time and explain it to you on the phone. I have a lot of customers that'll tell me, great, I didn't know how anything worked, but now that I talked to you, I think I know the gist of how it's working. And you just don't want to have to put needless money into that.
Water usually finds the lowest point to come in. Is that true when you're backing up? Would you most likely find it in your basement if you have a drain or a laundry tub down there or something? Is this where you would first notice it?
Right, your lowest point. Sometimes it could be a bathroom in the basement, a shower, the laundry. If you don't have a basement and you just have a crawl space, it can be your shower, your bathtub. It usually will back in that lowest point.
Because they're lower than the sink.
Yes.
And they're not designed for this type of load, and that cannot be good for the plumbing coming back either.
Right, and a lot of times we'll see when you get a backup like that, you try to unplug it yourself, plunge it, whatever, and then you might call a plumber and say, you know, hey, I got a plumbing issue, and the plumber's going to come out and look at it. And if it truly is a septic system issue, they're going to tell you, nope, we can't help you. You need to call a septic person. So there's a difference between a plumbing issue and a septic system issue, and it's probably a fine line. But if you're backing up, I would say 9 times out of 10, you've got a septic system issue, not a plumbing issue.
If you're backing up septic stuff.
Yes.
If it's clean water from the sink, it might be a problem between the tub and the sink going out.
Right.
Whereas if it's the other stuff coming back, it's more likely your tank is the problem.
Right. If just your sink is backing up, you've got a problem with your plumbing or your sink and where it's draining. But if your lowest drain's backing up, you've probably got a problem with your septic system. When you dig up your septic system, if you were to open the lid, a lot of times you can see the inlet. And if the water is up over the inlet, you know it's a septic system problem. If you open the lid and the water and the liquids come bubbling out at you, you know that you've got a problem with the septic system, usually a problem with the septic field. And if you open the lid and it's down 4 to 6 inches from the top, that usually means the septic field's working properly, the tank is digesting properly, and everything's flowing into there the way it should.
Okay. Well, hopefully things will be flowing smoothly this summer. If not, give you folks kind of a call, and they'll make sure that you're not going to be surprised at your next family gathering.
That's right. Nothing worse than having a family barbecue and everything's backing up.
Dear. Is there anything else you want to make sure we touch on? Is there something people can do to make things work? You just say basically the toilet paper is better than Kleenex?
Absolutely. Toilet paper is the only thing you want to flush in human waste. You don't want to flush anything else.
Because even the Kleenex in that is too fine or too dense of a material, as because everybody knows you get toilet paper wet, it's worthless.
Right. I mean, if you were to blow your nose on toilet paper, it falls apart and crumbles in your hands. If you blow your nose with one of these nice soft Kleenexes, it kind of stays together. Well, the fibers that make that stay together also make it stay together in the tank, and it doesn't digest as well.
We're just about out of time. I thank you for being with us. Is there a number they can call, and who should they ask for to get more info if they have problems or just keep on hand?
Sure. You can call DJ's Portable Toilet Rentals and Septic Service. You can ask for Julie. That's me.
That's you.
The number is 989-375-4505. And that does ring directly to my cell phone. I always have it on 24/7. But if you get my voicemail, it means I'm helping pumping a tank out, and I can't answer right now, but I will call you right back.
Well, good. Appreciate you taking time with us today, and may all your flushes go down safely.
Thank you.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.